Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, January 29th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday morning.
And Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Hitting the cough button early and often.
It's just this thing. You know, we've talked about this before. Yeah. This time of year is weird, and, you know, we don't have to go into a whole deal about it. But it's just weird how we're in pothole season. You notice that?
Yeah,
watch
sure.
out for your tires.
And yeah, and there's like, I don't know what takes the county or the city or whatever so long to fill these potholes. Some of these are massive. I'm having to adjust my route on the way to work each morning because I can't remember where they all are.
Ah.
Yeah.
And they're freaking, some of them are, they're massive potholes.
See, that might be a slight downside because I know you go through the city, right?
I go through the city, but it's also on Beach Drive. Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere.
There aren't. I have not encountered a lot of potholes
in
on my route. No, I just mean on the highways.
Yeah, maybe.
They're out there.
Do they not happen on the Beltway as much as they do on the local roads?
I think they do. They tend to them quicker.
Yeah. I mean,
roads, they don't really care.
There's some like bone jarring potholes on like Connecticut Avenue, Beach Drive.
Well, I heard a report there was a sinkhole somewhere here in D.C. I can't remember where it was.
Well, that's nightmare fuel.
Sinkhole. I mean,
a sinkhole is nightmare fuel. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
And I don't understand. I know it has something. It appears to me that they happen after like snowstorms. That's when.
I guess. I don't know.
Something, you know, that's when these.
Well, yeah, it's all the salt. Up. The salt breaks up the cement. It damages the cement.
That's what it
and
is.
And then the snow plows. Yeah, I mean it's a combination of all that stuff.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's the potholes. Remember that one time? This was years ago. I think this is pre-COVID. When I popped 2 tires,
I do remember that
on 66 on yeah. one pothole.
Yeah,
I popped my right. Hold on,
right passenger,
right rear.
Right,
that's just brutal. That's a brutal beat.
And I got hooked because it was at the exit right before a Toyota dealership.
Okay,
and I was able to just
rolling,
struggle
there.
In there.
It's called divine intervention.
And get two tires replaced. That was just brutal.
I've never had two at one
cost
time.
Me $500-$600.
But I've had like two in like within a couple weeks. And this is just a bad time of year. And every morning I just hit a little sign of the cross and hope I get into work without blowing out a tire. God, I hate this time of year.
So do I.
I haven't had a lot of tire blowouts, but I think I lead the league in nails and tires. Like just nails.
I can
nails
rival
that
you.
That have to get patched.
I can rival you. Yeah.
It happens like, I think, two or three times a year.
And that's
on
if they
average.
Get in the right location, because if they're on the side or something, then they claim you need a new tire.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Sometimes I've said, I don't care what you say. Just patch it.
Just patch it.
I don't care.
Even if the tire's going to blow up 5 minutes after I leave.
Yeah, I don't care. Just patch it, okay? Just put it in the side. I don't care.
Just give me the temporary fix.
Just get me out of here.
Oh, speaking of temporary fixes, dishwasher on the fritz. Have a tech coming over tonight.
Yeah, I need a new
we
one,
too. We just had the garbage disposal replaced. Now probably looking at, I'm guessing something's fried in the dishwasher, and it's probably makes more sense. Did you buy a newbie instead of an expensive repair?
Our dishwasher's been broken for years. About once every week, maybe, my wife has to just bucket water out of it. But it's so expensive to replace right now, and I'm so busto with everything I'm spending. I said, we can wait. Yeah. Just keep bailing water out of it.
Maybe we can get a sponsor to do like a two-for-one deal. I need a new one, too.
Well, that'd be 3-for-1.
Oh, yeah, you need one, too.
Three-for-1.
There's got to be a sponsor out there that can hook us with a dishwasher. Maybe not for free.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll pay for installation. But can we get somebody out there?
I need a new Sub-Zero.
I'd love to have a new endorsement. Or 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
It'd be nice.
My dishwasher didn't even really set right. It's a little cockeyed, and I think that's not helping either.
Yeah, it's probably not.
It's not exactly level.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. Owning a house, it has benefits.
It's expensive.
It's nice. Equity's grown.
Yeah.
But there's so many things. A
lot of upkeep. A lot of stuff to take care of.
So, Drabby, I'm watching this replay of the VCU St. Louis fans in the stands scrap. I mean, I don't know how it started. The video that I'm watching, they're already fighting.
Yeah, what was the catalyst for the fight?
I don't know. This is crazy. It happened at 69-63. St. Louis is up, about a minute left. This is in St. Louis, not in Richmond.
So AWOD wasn't in the middle of the scrum?
I can't tell if they're all... I assume that they're VCU and St. Louis fans. It's not St. Louis fans fighting St. Louis fans.
Right, it's probably not friendly fire.
But they stopped the game for almost 10 minutes. but there's even women in it.
Everybody's getting
involved.
They're
falling over each other. They're falling into the aisle, and they're falling into the seats. No one can stand up. I mean, this is crazy. Any idea of how this started?
No, I don't know. I think it's probably close to epidemic level of people just brawling in the stands, in college basketball games, in NFL games. You see it in college football games. People just love to tangle when they go out to a football game or a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just watch the game and enjoy it. They've got a jaw with somebody in the fans. Then it escalates. Then somebody's getting dragged down, three or four flights of stairs or over the rows of seats.
I mean, there's an old man. The first guy I see on his back in the aisle is an old man. But he's got to be in his late 60s.
Yeah, like the last thing he should be doing is brawling at a VCU St. Louis game. He should be going and enjoying the game and hanging out and having a beer with his buddies or his kid or his grandkid. He shouldn't be taking uppercuts in the stands.
This is crazy.
Well, yeah, and then the guy who's got his hand on the old man's neck, he has his jacket or shirt pulled up over his head.
Typically, isn't that where the parents sit?
Well, like they're behind one of the VCU benches.
They're behind the VCU bench.
Okay, it's behind the VCU bench. All right. So, I would certainly some parents would be back there, maybe. But the guy that looks like he's on his back, it looks like he's got a St. Louis sweatshirt on or T-shirt.
He's definitely got a big old man bushy mustache.
He's definitely got a St. Louis shirt on.
Yeah.
Now, the guy on top of him, who knows? I don't know what his deal is. But then these other guys are trying to get down to the man to bring him back up.
Have you guys ever gotten close to the level where you thought that you'd be, like, trading blows with somebody at a sporting event.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever even approached, got anywhere close to it.
Like slugging somebody?
Yeah, like you thought it was gonna escalate to like a physical altercation?
I don't think so.
I remember...
I don't get involved with other fans.
I wasn't...
Yeah, I don't either.
I wasn't there, but maybe Bickle was there, but at the Maryland football game, I think it was the Penn State game.
Okay.
Where Crick...
I thought Crick was going
to
die.
Crick owed a bunch of money to a bookie, and the bookie came down and spotted Craig.
Sure. We sat right next to him. I was right next to him.
Yeah. And he said, "Where's the money? Where you owe
that's
me,
true.
You owe me about $600.
I thought Crick was maybe going to die.
What was his response? What did Crick say?
I don't know, but he had
He's
some
He's like, I'll
some
get
BS.
It for you. So I would guess he said.
He had some BS.
Let me go find it. I'll get back to you.
But I'm pretty sure the book was that he was like an ex-player.
He was, right? Yeah, he was.
So he was
I can't remember.
He was a strong, stocky dude. And, you know,
New Yorker.
Craig was like 100 pounds. And
yeah, it was almost a fight there.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't have been much of a fight.
It wouldn't have been much.
It would have been a murder.
Well, you would have been involved because you would have had to.
Just a PSA to the listeners. When you're going out to a sporting event, just be civil. Just don't engage in physical violence with people around you. Can you please just not do that?
The only time
at Cap One.
The only time I've ever been sort of infuriated to the point where you could see yourself losing your temper sometimes is, and I'm sure I've been guilty of it myself, is when people are like cursing like a maniac in front of your little kids.
Yeah, I've encountered that before.
That's really could set you off. And the best
you have
thing
to handle it gracefully.
The best thing to do is just leave. You know, probably
you shoot them a look like, come on, like you got a 6 or 7 year old. And there's 100 f bombs.
Yeah.
You
know?
So this isn't confirmed, but there's a guy who was breaking down on Twitter. I think covers one of the teams. Their VCU's guard Phil Russell's family was in that section, mm-hmm. and apparently the backs up against where the SLU fans are, and they were jeering Russell all night.
Okay.
And I think at the end of the game, it just exploded into,
right.
you know, somebody probably got tired of them talking about a son.
Right.
Yeah.
They had enough.
Right.
That's what it looks
somebody
like.
Somebody reached a breaking point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See that happening.
when you're, yeah. When someone makes fun of your kids, I've seen Joe P. He told a guy in Manhattan, pipe down or he's going to snap his freaking neck. And he piped down.
You better pipe down, my friend.
I'll snap your freaking neck. Now,
we're going to go at it.
Actually, you're bringing up something. I've actually seen quite a few near brawls in college events.
Okay.
I wasn't really involved, but I've seen it.
Sure.
Yeah. Definitely happens, especially in New York.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy. 10-minute delay in that game.
Should mention, coming up on the show today, Lindsey Rhodes is going to join us. She's an NFL host for Sumer Sports as we start diving into the Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles. And at 9 o'clock today, Spencer Carberry joins us. Another dub for the Washington Capitals last
night.
We will
heater.
Talk to their head
Seven
coach.
It's a bona fide heater.
9 o'clock here on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere. A little bit later in the show, we're going to play Zippy Dollar Pyramid for your chance to win tickets to go see a Wizards Wednesday or go see the Harlem Globetrotters at Eagle Bank Arena. So I saw this story and I actually thought of Valdez, because whenever I see a story that has to do with seafood, that's who I think of.
Okay, yes.
Do you have the same association? If there's a story about crabs,
crabs
or shrimp?
Certainly. Crabs is the one seed, but yes.
So I would also say the scratch and dent aisle or rack at Safeway, which I just found the other day. I stumbled onto it. It's near the bathroom.
He's a giant guy, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Every store has one.
You associate that with Valdez.
I was like, this is where Valdez gets all his
expired meats.
Yeah. Here's an addicted can of crab.
Yeah,
so I saw this story about shrimp.
Okay.
I know it's not the one seed with him. It's not crabs. And I wonder if this would bother you. So they say that restaurants throughout the Gulf Coast are serving imported shrimp from the Gulf of Mexico or the Gulf of America, whatever they're calling it now, and it's claiming that it's local, that it's, you know, if you're in Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, Tampa.
Where are they importing it from?
The Gulf of Mexico.
Well, that is local.
Yeah, how's that not local?
How's that not local to Louisiana?
are you saying restaurants not...
Restaurants are using fraud.
So you're saying like somewhere up here, like somewhere in D.C. saying we have Gulf shrimp and they're imported, not from the Gulf of America.
That sounds right.
Have you read
the story? If they're serving shrimp in Louisiana and they're getting from the Gulf of Mexico, that's local.
It just says that they're serving imported shrimp, but telling their customers they're feasting on
local shrimp.
Shrimp fished in the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, so it must be...
It must be restaurants.
Tom Clancy did.
Yeah,
the shrimp is imported to the U.S. It's foreign shrimp.
Right, it has to be from a different place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and it has to be from like South America.
Are saying that it's locally...
Yeah. Right, right. You know, they're lying.
Yeah, that's a scam.
They're lying. Yeah.
That's a legit scam.
Yeah, okay. I mean... Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like, because you would assume that the shrimp fished out of those waters is fresher.
Right.
It's closer. It's not being flown in from someplace else.
You know,
probably frozen.
You're kind of a donk if you can't tell a Gulf shrimp from a shrimp that's imported from Indonesia.
Right.
Oh, I don't know if I could. I don't know enough about it.
They're butt small. Gulf shrimp, massive. You can definitely tell a Gulf shrimp from like the nubby.
I'm sure you could. Shrimp. I didn't know the massive difference.
And you can tell when they're fresh, because like when I go down to South Carolina, I've got a shrimp guy.
Yeah.
I have a shrimp guy that I know where he's set up, and he always has big fatties that are local. Like, they're
and then
fresh.
The color on them is different than the color in the store that you get. Those are imported or
farm-raised.
When
you buy from the guy directly, you're paying like $2 or $3 less than you're paying per pound at like the local Publix.
They're
getting a better product.
They tested 44 restaurants in Tampa Bay, for example.
EB probably ate at one of them when he was in Tampa. Like,
actually, it was Tampa and St. Pete, but in Florida. Yeah. They tested 44 restaurants. How many do you think were serving authentic shrimp from the Gulf of Mexico?
Out of 44, I would say
two.
Two or three.
Two.
Yeah.
42 were straight up
serving?
Lying.
They're serving whatever they can get. Yeah. Their hands
for cheap.
On the cheapest.
It's like when you watch Bar Rescue and John Taffer yells at the owner and tells him it's illegal when they pour like aristocrat vodka in a... In like a Belvedere bottle.
He may want to start yelling at himself because his place here in D.C., I think it lasted about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went belly up. So he may want to do a bar rescue on his own
product.
But
that's the same kind of vibe, I feel like, when you're swapping shrimp.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 90% of the shrimp consumed in the United States is imported.
Right.
So, yeah, I read it wrong. I apologize.
Right.
Hey, you crab guys, you got to settle down, though, because they just had a news story that came out a few months ago that said 95% of Maryland restaurants are using crab from Venezuela.
Right.
It was like, it was a WTOP story.
Hey, I'm not the guy sitting across from you. I don't care where they get the crabs from, as long as it tastes good.
I don't claim that I could tell the difference necessarily.
Like, if I sit down and eat crab, I'm not going to be able to say, well, this was pulled out of the Chesapeake Bay. How would I be able to figure that out?
Well, Drab's a rube because he doesn't understand that when you see Maryland style, that doesn't mean that the crab itself is from Maryland.
Right.
Or if it's blue crab. That just means they sprinkle Old Bay on it.
Aren't a lot of the crabs that come up here, aren't they from like Louisiana and down south?
Yeah, or they're in the Gulf and at the mouth of the bay.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm fine with it. I'm not that discerning.
As long as it tastes
good.
Well,
this crab must be from Virginia or Maryland for me to consume it.
You know how you know it's real is you buy the crabs from a waterman and you have all the leftovers and you have a family pick. Then you take the crab meat, make your own crab cakes.
Yeah. You know what?
That's how you know it's
silly. Last week I had salmon Chesapeake at Norbeck for dinner, and then the crab on top of the salmon. I wasn't like, I hope this crab is from Maryland or from Virginia. I just ate it. And it was delicious.
Well, I would question it maybe if it looked nubs.
It looked great.
Yeah. But I'm saying if I go somewhere and the crab looks nubs, then I question.
Well, here's who you
There's a certain look to it.
Here's who you ultimately disrespect. Anybody that consumes the fake crab. Like the imitation. If you go into
I don't even
store,
know what the point of that
like,
is.
Like, what are you doing? Like, if you eat a California roll with a fake piece of crab meat in it, and I know there are a lot of them out there, it's kind of like a standard cheap sushi roll. It's just
I think California rolls are for people that want to say they eat sushi.
Right.
But I mean, I never order California rolls.
I order them if I can get them with real crab put in them. But that's hard to find.
I've yet to see that. Every time I've ever
had it out at MGM National Harbor before.
Yeah, every time I've ever had it. Yeah. got delicious. No interest in that fake crab, like yeah. whatever that
so
is.
So are these
or
people...
like a cucumber roll. Are these, get out of yeah. here with that.
Are these customers at these restaurants, are they complaining that the crabs don't taste, or the shrimp don't taste
good? I don't
know
that the customers complain, but the government comes in and they're trying to... You know, straighten
so
it out.
They don't like the false advertising.
It's kind of the same thing. I'm actually looking after Drab mentioned the Venezuelan crab meat. I clicked on a story that I didn't see the 90% figure that he has, but that all these restaurants and, are doing the Maryland crab bit, the crab meats from Venezuela.
Hey, how do I get the job seafood investigator? Just that's right up my alley.
Apply for it. Apply for the job. Send in your resume.
The problem, Jason, is that they're just misleading the customers. And
yeah.
Then, right. You know, you're also undercutting local businesses.
Yeah.
Well, are they... Yeah, I'm just wondering if the prices... The prices would certainly change if they're spending more on shrimp from the local watermen. So I'm just wondering what they're charging for some of these restaurants on the
My guess is your margin's much bigger if you're getting cheaper outsourced imported shrimp
right.
instead of local.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the story. Maryland, Virginia lawmakers call on Biden to act on Venezuelan crab meat. That was October 28th.
You can definitely tell a couple months ago. You can definitely tell a Venezuelan crab meat versus like what's jumbo it? Lump. Just yeah. like the
look.
The look of it. It basically looks like shredded pork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, do you want this is your Valdez seafood tip of the day.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I'm expecting one of these tomorrow too.
When you go out,
this is Matt Valdez.
And then they have oysters on the menu.
Okay.
All right. The first thing you need to do is you need to ask the waiter or waitress or bartender, wherever you're getting them from, where you're getting the oysters from.
Okay.
If they can't name the river or place that the oysters are harvested from,
yeah.
don't get the oysters.
Yeah, don't
order. They usually know, though? I've asked.
Typically,
they usually have the
I know.
Answer.
That's how you know you're in the clear. Yeah. They got no idea where, what river they, if it's not in the Rappahannock or wherever, or if they don't know the style of oyster they yeah. are. If they're like blue necks or whatever.
It does make me chuckle whenever I see like sometimes they'll have the description of what the oyster tastes like. Like, it's briny's, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm that discerning where I'm going to be able to tell the difference between this oyster and another one.
Yeah, Cakes, you're not going to know where the oyster's from when you load it with cocktail sauce.
No, I don't load
mine
with cocktail
sauce. Do you not put cocktail sauce on yours?
More of a mignonette guy.
I might put a little dab of it, and I like some horseradish on there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I do horseradish, a little hot sauce, and a little lemon, or a mignonette.
I don't know if I know what a mignonette is.
It's just
is.
Like red wine and like shallots that
yeah,
are so soaked together.
He's flexing his oyster muscles over there. And I like it. I'm here for it. You're the seafood expert.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can you guys get like a lobby in Maryland or something to protect your brand a little bit? I mean, I know when I go to the grocery store, I look for the Washington apple sticker
okay.
or the California pistachio
right.
or the Idaho potato.
You guys
are eroding your Maryland brand with this garbage from Venezuela.
I think you're looking at the spokesman right there. He's standing 3 feet away from you.
The Maryland style blue crab. What is that?
I'd never heard that.
No,
before.
I'm just saying.
Never when seen you that say, on menu.
When you see Maryland style blue crab soup,
yeah.
that just means it's loaded with Old Bay. Doesn't mean the crab itself is from.
On a side note,
from the
I've seen this on menus before, and I didn't know this was a Maryland specialty. Maryland fried chicken. Have you guys seen that before?
No.
I've definitely seen it a few times. Like, Maryland's known for
fried
chicken.
How is that different than Kentucky fried chicken?
I don't know. I didn't know that fried chicken was kind of our thing.
No, ask Google. Ask ChatGPT.
I should ask Bob Google.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a thing.
Why?
I don't know.
They season the skin differently.
There's got to be our listeners know.
I will say Maryland's biggest flaw is we get sized. To throw the flag on everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is true.
We hammer everything.
Here's what it says here. Maryland fried chicken is a dish associated with the U.S. state of Maryland. It is a take on the classic Southern dish and is differentiated by covering the chicken in a pot while frying it and adding gravy poured over the chicken.
Gravy on top of fried chicken is a 15 out of 10.
That sounds great. I've never seen
it
that.
Then says
think.
The dish consists of
Maryland
fried chicken.
Heart attack.
Yeah. Served with a creamy gravy and is traditionally garnished with bananas.
No. Oh,
whoa,
now
I'm out.
Now I'm drawing the line.
Out.
Yeah.
You put bananas on chicken?
You can't have that.
Have you ever heard of that?
Never. Never, ever, ever.
Like a hillbilly thing?
No, I wish I'd never heard of Maryland fried chicken.
Bananas?
Chicken Maryland.
Where's the Chiquita?
That's weird.
Hey, we can't have our chicken without our Dole.
No, thank you. I'm with you, bananas. No bananas.
I'm out on bananas. They're mushy and gross.
The only good thing,
you got to eat them fresh.
With a smoothie. It's the only acceptable use for a banana.
Hey, Valdez.
You can't tell it's in there.
Have you or your family ever had either a t-shirt or bumper sticker that said Maryland is for crabs?
Never.
Have you had a bumper sticker?
A bumper sticker?
On your bumper.
Me? Or my parents? My parents got a size... I had a five on my old Saturn.
I do remember
when
that.
I was in my 20s. My parents got sized to have their my child's an honor roll student.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course. That's how you know your parents never went to college.
Chicken.
All right, let's go to Nick. Nick, what's up, buddy? You're on with the junk.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I don't know if you remember, I called in the last time you guys were talking about seafood.
We do not remember.
To be fair, we don't, but don't take it personal.
Okay.
Maybe you should have a nickname when Strap hates to call you Seafood
Maybe
Nick.
Maybe you should know from the
then we
the
can
whatever.
Remember you.
Yeah.
Seafood Nick.
I always say I think shrimp is one of the worst things to get at a restaurant.
All right, why?
I would say 99% of shrimp are imported from Asia and India that you'll see at a restaurant.
All right, but... At the end of the day,
if it tastes good, who cares? Why?
I mean, I guess it just depends what you want to put in your body, but
you're just saying it's
a little bit different, but I think farm-raised shrimp, if you look at how they're raised and stuff.
I never buy farm-raised anything. It's too expensive.
Mm-hmm. So if I go to the Palm, let's say, a nice steakhouse, we've had a relationship with the Palm for years, and I get the shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
Right.
You're telling me that shrimp cocktail is not going to be tasty?
It might be good, but
he's just saying you don't know how it's raised and all that.
I'm going to guess.
I don't know how my food is raised.
But hold on, how do you know how anything is raised that you're putting in your body? You're just kind of taking it for granted.
I mean, that's true, but that's why if you go with wild, you don't have to worry about it, especially with shrimp.
So you never order shrimp at restaurants?
No, pretty much never.
So what do you order that you feel like you're eating safely?
Usually just meat, honestly.
What about fish? What if you want to go get a nice halibut or cod?
Yeah, halibut. I mean, salmon, if it's labeled, wild, or if it's a specific type of salmon, actually, then I would go
I'll
for
tell
that.
This. I never buy that stuff. I never buy organic. I never buy wild. And I'm not saying it's bad. I just go, well, I'm not buying the one that's $15 a pound. I'm buying the one that's $10 a pound, and I'll take the food coloring, and we'll just deal with it.
Right.
That's what most people do. That's what I do. But probably wrong.
Where I will splurge sometimes is buying steak. Like I can't buy like steak that's like $6 a pound.
My wife is a steak snob.
It's too.
I can buy some tough rough meat.
No, I need a nice tender steak.
My wife bitters.
Needs the grass fed.
No, she doesn't need grass fed, but she needs a very nice cut.
I need ribeye or something. I don't need filet all the time. But I'm kind of snooty when it comes to steak.
My wife is. She's definitely a steak snob.
Yeah, I'm right there. Yeah,
I'm not Same. Really. I mean, what's the difference? I put the seasoning. I'm the steak king. I make it good anyway. That was my whole thing.
I mean, you can't dress up a steak that's $7 a pound.
So Nick,
it's just gonna be tough.
Nick,
yep.
So every time you buy salmon, you buy that wild stuff.
Oh, not necessarily. No, I just like to know where it's coming from, but. I mean, we sell a lot of salmon to restaurants and stuff like that. The best salmon is definitely from the Faroe Islands.
What do you mean? What is your business?
Nobody remembers.
What's your business?
Lobster Mania.
Oh, that's right. I remember what it's called.
Warren, Virginia. Yeah, we sell to a lot of restaurants.
Did he come in studio one time?
Did you bring food in for us? Can't remember.
I was trying to work it out, but it didn't work before Christmas. But I'll come down soon with some stuff for you guys.
All right, bring me some healthy,
I'll be sized for a lobster roll.
I'm sized to have a seafood plug.
Then maybe I'll be nicer to you now. If you
bring, I'll bring
food.
Some Venezuelan crab meat and some Maryland.
You know what? That's a great idea.
Let's do a test.
Yeah, let's try a blind test, and we'll tell you which ones we like better.
I love that idea. That's a great idea.
And we can guess if we think it's like raised by slaves, or if it's like if it's
wild.
I don't know. You know what I mean? If it's good.
Nick, I'm psyched if you hire me as your crab sommelier.
That's correct.
All right, Nick. Stay on hold. Stay on hold. Okay, Valdez, you hooked this up. This is right up your alley.
It's more of a lobster guy, though. I mean, you're working for Lobster Mania.
Hold on. Can you get bad lobster then? Because I love
lobster.
Yeah,
you definitely can. Yeah.
We always have a lobster dinner at my in-laws once a year, but we just get them from like. You know, they're like live lobsters from like a local grocery.
Yeah, you're sitting there tapping the glass, seeing which ones are moving around.
I don't know where he gets them, but he gets them, and then, you know, they steam them up for you.
The claws have rubber bands on them.
They're always good.
I'm going to pwn you.
Are we getting some trash lobster?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the grocery store, definitely. But we sell a lot of lobsters to MGM, actually.
It tastes silly. No,
this guy knows better lobster.
What's the difference?
I know, but he's in the business. For someone just going to a restaurant, they just want something that tastes good.
Right.
Yeah. I just put some butter on it. It's silly.
Yeah.
Hello? You got nothing.
He got
star, I think.
All right.
Yeah. Huh?
All right. Well, thanks. Stay on hold.
There are standards. I mean, I don't really want to eat anything that comes from
India. Huh?
I don't want any food that comes from India. I mean,
would that mean you don't go to an Indian restaurant?
Well, no
you
chance.
Won't go to an Indian restaurant? You're well, biased against Indians?
No, there's no chance.
No, of course not.
I mean, I'm being serious.
I don't
want
to eat food from India.
I don't
India.
Care if you like Indians
I don't think
or not.
The I guess the standards aren't as high as they are here in Los Estados Unidos.
I don't know.
I will say, I've seen, how many times can I just say this?
You go take a bath in that river that dead bodies floating in.
Drabby. I don't know if this is in your neighborhood, but there are a lot of Indian families that live in Ashburn.
Yeah,
it's heavily populated by Indian families. Mm-hmm. All right, over the last 5-7 years, when you walk down the street, when I'm walking, you can smell the curry coming out of the houses.
Right.
Because it's very strong. Mm-hmm. I can't stand the smell of that.
Why?
It's terrible. It's too strong.
So do you not go to an Indian? Like, Indian food's silly.
No.
I like me some Indian food.
I just don't like it.
Like, people always say, listen, my wife's...
Tandoori chicken?
My wife's Chinese.
Scared of my tummy.
People always say, like, you know, they're serving you whatever is running around in the city or something. That's never stopped me. Chinese food's silly.
Oh, right. So is it really chicken? Right.
I mean, that's the joke
or
that
is it
people
cat?
Always say.
Or is it cat?
Yeah. I don't know.
If you want to chime in on the...
I'm just going to assume it's chicken, but I have no idea.
MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, you can call us
really
800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back. Cakes, you kind of are ruining your always bet against Cakes brand because
How's
you nailed
that?
The Cliff Kingsbury thing. You said it just yesterday. Like,
okay, but I mean, I'll take the credit, but I don't think I'm the only person who was saying that I thought Cliff Kingsbury was going to stay.
No, there was only one job left.
Yeah.
In the New Orleans Saints, and Kingsbury's choosing not to even interview with them, and he's going to be staying here in Washington to work with Jaden Daniels for at least one more season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good. Fantastic news for the Commanders and for Jaden Daniels.
It's great for Daniels, great for the Commanders fans.
And it's probably good for him. Like, he's going to find a better scenario than going to work for the Saints, who are getting strangled by the salary cap. They're kind of devoid of talent in some of the most important areas, and I'm sure he's just... biding his time and looking for a better situation.
Let's be honest. You know, most people don't even get a chance to be a head coach. And if you have some success, you might get a chance at a second. You're not going to get a third unless you've been really successful.
And he's in the rare spot where he can be kind of choosy.
Yeah, he needs to be really selective. Choosy.
But there is some risk. We talked about it yesterday.
Of course, there's always risk.
Last year, Bobby Slowick was a hot coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Teams were interested, and did he ultimately pull out and say he wanted to return to Houston, and now he's been fired from the Houston Texans?
Slovic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty rare, though.
It does happen.
That you're a hot commodity, and then the next year you're fired.
But he'll land somewhere else.
With the Bengals defensive coordinator.
Slowick will land somewhere else. He'll reinvent himself, and he'll probably be on the circuit again next offseason.
Yeah.
By the way, who is going to get that Saints job?
I think McCarthy.
McCarthy pulled out.
I think McCarthy's already said he's looking to 2026.
It's probably going
to
be.
He's going to take a year off. Yeah.
I think that what you're hearing is the favorite is Kellen Moore.
Okay.
But
I saw Anthony Weaver got a second interview there
Who are some of the possible job openings the following year? I'm just kind of going down the standings.
Like, who's
going
to get fired?
Colts.
What about Miami?
Cardinals.
What about Miami?
Miami,
How
the
can
Bengals.
That guy go from being a dreamboat to just trash?
I know.
I don't understand.
That would be kind of surprising.
I'm just throwing out teams that didn't make the playoffs that could possibly be open. So the Dolphins, I mean, I guess Zach Taylor with Cincinnati if they didn't make the playoffs again.
Well, Giants.
Giants, definitely. I don't think the Titans, because you know, it would be a second year. But definitely the Giants.
And then you never know, like if a team flails, like take Tampa.
Maybe Carolina, if they struggle again. Maybe Arizona. But definitely, I would think the Cincinnati would be the one job. Like if Kingsbury wanted to go somewhere and it was open, well, why wouldn't you take Cincinnati?
Well, you get to work with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
If that becomes available.
But Kingsbury, Cleveland. Again,
Cleveland, that's a good one.
Kingsbury is risking it in a sense because I think that we're heading totally in the right direction and Jaden Daniels is going to get better every year, but it's going to be tougher next year. You know, it's going to be a little bit tougher.
Apparently he loved it though, and that's great. You know, he
loved,
yeah. He loved being here. It's amazing to hear the hours that these guys put in because Adam Peters in that presser said that he tried a few times to beat Kingsbury to the park.
Yeah.
And that Kingsbury apparently gets there at 3 a.m.
3 a.m. Man, he's beating Valdez into work.
So what time is he going to bed?
He must be one of those guys who barely sleeps.
One of these high achiever guys. And you know what? 4 hours.
I'll say this. I might get raked over the coals. People always compare him to Ryan Gosling and being like this good-looking guy.
Yeah, dreamy.
Maybe the lack of sleep has gotten to him because he looks tired to me.
Really?
That guy looks like he's been through the ringer for the last couple years.
I think he's always been like a poor man's Ryan Gosling.
Who are you talking about?
Kingsbury?
Oh, I guess I never looked at him that closely. I mean, I thought he looked like a good-looking guy, but I didn't even look at him that closely. What do you see, like bags?
Yeah, it just looks like a guy who's not sleeping.
I mean,
much.
If you're waking up,
if you're getting to work at three, you're waking up at 2:30.
It's going to take a toll on your body.
Who knows where he lives?
I mean, that means he's going to bed. What? He's got to be going. If you're getting up at 2:30, it means you got to be going to bed no later than 10.
The first picture that I punched up, and this is from his presser with the Cardinals years ago.
Yeah.
Doesn't he look sleepy there?
He looks like DJ.
I'm going to assume.
He looks like a young
Dustin Johnson. I'm going to assume that he lives like 10 to 15 minutes away from the complex. Like,
yeah, I would assume it's a pretty short drive.
Like he's not going to have a 40-minute commute like this.
Let's
say 10 minutes.
I know, but
you still got to brush your teeth.
DQ does it. DQ doesn't live in Ashburn. He lives up here in McLean.
Okay, what is that, 20 minutes? I have no idea.
It could be a little further than that.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's just say anyway, who cares? I mean, still, you got to get up. You probably got to drop a deuce or something. You got to brush your teeth.
It's not like you get up and go right to the door.
If I were him, I'd have a driver. Like, hello. I mean, he's Cliff Kingsbury. He's making big money. Like, he's making Cardinals money.
I guess you could.
Double dipping with the Commanders.
But what if you like driving? What if you like
those guys don't have drivers.
Cars?
None of those guys have drivers.
He probably has a locker there. He rolls out of bed and sweats like EB.
Right.
Drives to the facility. Can shower at the facility and change.
He could work out there.
Gets a workout in.
I guess he could do that. Maybe that's what he does.
Maybe he gets up and works out for an hour and then he starts his business.
Who wants to work out at 3 in the morning? You got to be an animal.
When are we getting our, was it Tom Joyner who did the radio bit while he was on a recumbent bike? When are we going to get those, Valdez?
We also did the bit where he did morning drive, whatever, in Dallas. And then he
hop on a plane.
Then he flew to D.C. or vice versa.
Well, he was a madman.
He did morning here and then flew to Dallas the day afternoon.
He had to be getting paid
daily.
Big dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Like the biggest.
Can you imagine that?
No, of course I couldn't imagine it. Doing this show and then hopping on a bird and doing a show in a different market.
There's somebody locally that does middays for one station, then does afternoons for another.
Right.
In the same company, and then...
Understood, but they're not flying.
Yeah, they're not hopping on a bird.
He was flying there every day.
Yeah.
Which is nutty.
That's too much work ethic.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Don't have that work ethic. Don't have that.
I can't do that. I can't hopscotch from D.C. to Dallas on a daily basis.
I can barely get here every day.
I don't even like taking out the recycling.
Hard enough to get you guys to do D.C. news now.
I barely made it to Honor Brewing over the weekend. It was so far out there. I'm kidding. It was a great time. I had a lot of fun, but it was kind of deep.
Right. Well, think about me. I'm doing that every day.
And then I saw how much it cost me to drive on the stupid greenway.
Oh, don't look.
I felt like I had to up my appearance fee.
I know.
Do another appearance to pay
I made the mistake of driving to Manassas yesterday because my daughter, she had training and then she had volleyball. And so I literally had like almost 4 hours to kill.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let's go to Manassas. I've been to Manassas. It looked like it was only like 14 miles. Oh, my God. You talk about 66 area. Oh, my God. It's a nightmare. Mm. So I got on the express.
Yeah.
But I think that cost me like $7.
Sure.
Yep. And I got $7 coming back.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do in Manassas?
I just walked around, just wanted to see the stores, see what was out there. I haven't been there in 15 years. I, you know, I want to see it.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, this was a mistake. I got out there and it's like, this is a mistake.
Did you find a Marshalls in Manassas? Yeah.
I found a Marshalls. It was Nubs. It was Nubs. Found a TJ Silly. It was Nubs. There's literally nothing.
couldn't live up to the TJ Sillies in like Rockville.
The elite ones?
Yeah.
Rockville Tysons.
Mm.
Elite.
You should have texted me.
They just have higher end stuff. I know, I thought about it. I didn't have my clubs.
Could have used mine.
Yeah, I did. I believe me, I did that algorithm in my head. Just didn't think about it.
It's going to be 58 degrees today. But it's going to be windy. That's supposed the problem.
I heard 50 mile an hour winds.
It's going to be windy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to feel great.
Monday, it's supposed to be 60.
Yes,
I know. I already booked my tee time.
12:06. 12:06. We're already locked in.
Those are sickos.
Well, I tried to play today. I called Hidden Creek, and there's still snow on the course.
Yeah, my wife sent me a picture yesterday from the club, and there's like snow all over.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It took you taking forever.
Should be gone by.
No, by this weekend.
I'm fiending.
Yeah, and then I think it needs to drain a little bit too, though.
Oh yeah, it's going to be muddy as heck.
It's going to be wet, muddy.
TGL isn't giving you guys the fix you need. Just watching it on TV.
I'm thinking I'm having some buddies over today. We're hitting in the garage.
Nice.
We're having a session in the garage together.
Sounds fun.
Actually, is kind of fun.
I couldn't hit in a garage.
Really?
Yeah. You're way more into hitting balls into a net.
No, but I do see it's a sim. I got the sim.
I know, but it's same, you know, to a screen. I can't do it.
I do see a TGL bump in week 4.
What do they say? I predicted
864,000.
Yeah. I mean, almost like what they did in the opening. I mean, Tiger's just a needle mover.
Even though he doesn't give you anything.
I mean, he's not going to give you $55 million like the NFL.
So week 1 was 919,000. Week 2, which was Tiger's debut, 1.05 million.
Yeah.
Then it dipped to 682.
Yeah.
And up to 864.
So I'm telling you, what's the next one, Valdez? Is it the triple header? There's header coming up,
I think
up,
there's
right?
one. There's one more week. I think New York's playing somebody. And then after that, they have a week off. And then after that, they have a triple header.
Triple header. That's going to be ridiculous.
The TGL King is saying Atlanta's gonna the Atlanta Drive are gonna win it all.
Ah,
they're much.
I need to get in on their betting.
They're
betting
your name on Twitter,
TGL King.
Yeah.
Well, the Drive, they're so much more strategic with the hammer throw, and I think that's really gonna.
I don't even know what he's talking about. I have no clue.
They actually throw a hammer on an actual hammer. They throw it on the green.
They don't.
I don't think that's true. Yeah. Baseball Cakes does not believe you.
Okay.
Should mention a little bit later in the show, Lindsay Rhodes, who's an NFL host for Sumer Sports. She'll jump on at 7:25. Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, joins us at 9 here in a game show Wednesday on the Junk.